Good afternoon, Truth Wins team. Oh, lost confidence. Oh, no.
Lost confidence.
We don't want to lose confidence, do we? No. So we'll start off with a prayer to get us on the right track.
Dear Holy Father, we thank you, Father, for this production today. We glorify you in everything we do. We thank you, Father, that the Word of God is permeating our lives with your Word, your understanding by revelation, by wisdom, by knowledge and understanding. We thank you, Father, that you guide us and direct us by your Holy Spirit and the Word of God in everything we do. We ask this now in the name of Jesus, the name of all names. Amen.
Amen.
We all said.
Amen. Well, as you know, we've been teaching on prayer. We started off with you should pray for all men. Then you should pray for elected officials, be it president, mayor, governor, whoever. And then we went on to iniquity and epigenetics. Well, this week we had a lot of people comment because it's a very new, it could be Nobel Prize winning material. Do you think?
Maybe.
So what it is it comes from Isaiah. It says he was wounded for our transgression. And if you look when you transgress, you sin. The sin is an action. Iniquity is considered a noun. So it's really the twisting of your mind so that you're
soulish thing.
You're not really morally quite thinking as you should. And it passes to the third and fourth generation. And it's like a generational curse. So like we always go, oh, you're just like your father. He's an alcoholic or whatever. Your mother, she's whatever. She's a gossip. And it comes through epigenetics. And I know people don't really understand it exactly, but Dr. Carolyn Leaf does a lot on neuroplasticity. And that's really what causes the epigenetics. It's like we taught about the chickens that had wrong thoughts because the lights weren't and they were stressed. And so they're thought in their brain didn't know when to tell them to lay the egg, so they got all off base. And so what happens is something people maybe didn't quite understand is when you're born again, your spirit's brand new, but your mind is the same as you had before you were born again. Because some people go, well, they're born again. Why do they act the same way? Because their mind's still doing it.
The soul is not born again. You have to renew your soul. Your soul is your mind, emotions, and your will. Your spirit is not a part of your soul. A lot of people put the two together in the past, but they are separate. It says it in the Word of God. They're not the same entities.
Right. So that's why we say, like, don't let the Word of God depart. We're not trying to remove... we're not trying to renew our spirit. We're trying to renew our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions. So with that said, also another thing is we do not take donations. We've never taken
right.
Donations.
Yeah, somebody was saying, "Well, we wouldn't give you anybody any money." Well, we didn't ask for any money.
Right, like we were stealing people's money, but we're not a nonprofit. We're just teachers of the Word of God.
Hey, we want you to hear it so that you will grow.
Right. So we have never asked for donations,
and we're not. Hey, it's only the Holy Spirit speaking through our mouths here. It's not our thoughts.
Right.
It's his thoughts.
I would have never thought, I never knew iniquity till like about a week ago when
we're not trying to build some deal here.
I'm not trying to build a new religion or anything. I was reading Isaiah and I went, you're wounded for our transgression. So those are our sins and you're bruised for our iniquity. Well, isn't iniquity and transgression the same thing? And I began to study and I looked and did research and iniquity really is the distorting of one's mind.
Yeah, it's a generational, wrong thoughts. I've heard it said, a generational curse.
Right, and so that's what Isaiah is about, redeeming us from the curse of the law so that we won't lose confidence. So the story we're going to go through today, it's about the blind man who is sitting and Jesus is walking by and the crowd is yelling at him to be...
Quiet. Shut your mouth, boy.
Yeah, because they don't want him to... They're interrupting their peace. And so remember, it's like everybody's all about themselves. And they're being, be quiet, be quiet. And so let's see what happens in the story.
It says in Mark 10:50, says, and throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus.
Right. So there we're seeing like, whoa, look at this man. They're all yelling, quiet, quiet, quiet. But then Jesus turns to him and says, have him come. And then the crowd goes, oh, Jesus wants him. Well, then that's a good thing. Then we want him to go to Jesus. But we see the man in himself has confidence because what he was wearing was a beggar's robe. It allowed him to beg because he was blind.
And the people gave alms to him in a way so that he would survive in life because he had need from society, really.
Right, and there was no welfare system. It was just gifts, right?
Right.
Right, so we'll go on and see what else we can learn.
It says in Hebrews 10:35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. And confidence is another way of saying I have confidence in what God said. Confidence is a faith idea.
Right, because he could have had fear if I throw away, what if I throw away my cloak or robe or whatever thing they actually had him wear and Jesus didn't heal him? Then he'd have no way to have income. So he had to have great confidence, really, to believe, to throw it away. And so,
well, he knew what he was doing. He said, I'm not letting Jesus walk by again. He may not walk by again. And right. I'm gonna get my sight.
Right, so let's
see. He was
confident.
Confident. In Mark 10:52, and Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Now see here, Jesus is calling Jesus said it. He didn't pray it. He said, your eyes are well. And it came to fruition. He called it. And the man agreed because of his confidence in Jesus.
Right, which is
because he had heard that Jesus did it all the time.
Right, which is like that. His confidence paid off. So we're wanting your confidence to pay off the same way so that your prayers are all answered.
Amen.
Right, so let's see what's next.
It says in James 1:3, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. In other words, if you don't see it immediately, you need to go, well, it's happened. I said it. I believe it. That settles it. I don't care what the unbelief trying to come in and say, oh, it didn't happen. The Word of God said it happened. So I believe the Word of God more than I believe the soulish actions, which is the five senses, is trying to tell you it didn't happen. That's the ways of the devil. The devil wants you to hear the five senses, the unbelief, so that you don't receive the blessing of the spirit realm in the flesh here.
Right. So that's why we renew our mind. It says, don't let the word of God depart. You're not going to change your spirit, because when you're born again, you get a new spirit with faith. What you have to do is fill your mind, your soul, your will, and emotions with the word of God till it becomes truth, as opposed to what you said, unbelief.
Unbelief, yeah.
Right. And then
that is a force against your faith. Got to realize that it's like the good and the bad trying to get there, and you got to overwhelm the bad by knowing the faith that God has already given you, and it comes to fruition regardless of time.
Right, and it's really the tipping point that you know that it's a tipping point, and then you're healed, and it really doesn't matter if it takes a week.
Right. I was going to say, there was an example by Marty Blackwelder years ago. He came to Hayward, California, and he talked about this, and he said the lady, she went to church, she got laid hands on, she was dying.
She couldn't get up. I know
she,
or her
whatever.
Husband
she
had
was
to
in
help
a wheelchair.
Her. Yeah, her husband had to help her.
Yeah, and what it was is every morning she went home. Every morning he'd have to help her get out of bed and go to the breakfast table and eat. And it happened day after day after day after day. She'd praise God every morning that she had received her healing. Well, on the eighth day she prayed and she received it, but it didn't manifest. She didn't see it. But on the ninth day, she got up herself, and he said, I remember the husband said, I remember hearing smelling bacon in the kitchen, and he got up, and there's his wife sitting there making breakfast that she hadn't done for years. And so her confidence was not put down because of the 8 days of not receiving the manifestation of the Word of God in her life.
Right, and we did teach on the lady that it was 18 years she was bent over. And then you could go, well, that's too long. Well, it probably is. She probably should have renewed her mind quicker and gotten there quicker. But she didn't. But praise God she got there, because I'm sure she didn't go, oh, well, it's been 18 years. I give up. I don't want it.
And yet, the way you enhance your position is praising God. Praise God. Thanking Him for what He said was true. You know, you can't be overwhelmed by the unbelief of the flesh.
Well, and she did go to the synagogue every day, so she was, in a sense, trying to renew her mind. She was getting there as best she could. But we want to wish you, it's probably a shorter lesson than usual. We want to wish you, well, there's one other thing. I guess it just popped in. I'm reading a book about the power of Jesus' name, and I want to share that with you, because right. You may be with people that you don't see all the time, and you want to know the power of Jesus to cause things to happen. And when Jesus died, we all think about, oh, He had our sins, and about the stripes, and about being on the cross. Well, that's just the beginning of the story.
Yeah, I was just halfway through.
Right.
He died on the cross, and that was only halfway through.
Right, and we probably, because it relates to us, we think of, I mean, the other part does too, but we don't really see it or hear much about it. But He went to hell for 3 days, and every demon, every evil force, every foe
to destroy him in any way they can.
Right, so he endured much more than we even contemplate. And finally the Father says, enough, it's done. And He says, He bestows the name of Jesus and says every knee will bow to it. And so now
in all three realms.
Right, Jesus has the heaven, the earth, and hell. And then what does He do? That's what's amazing.
He has a battle with Satan himself, and He takes the armor of Satan away. He is naked. He's a naked, you know, evil spirit. He has no power except by suggesting to you to abuse your power. And so His way of trying to get power is through mankind, not acting upon the Word of God and saying, talk to the hand, evil spirit, evil devil, you have no power here. We're the body of Christ, and we're sitting at the right hand with Jesus, and we, all power is heaven and earth is in Christ Jesus. And He said in the Mark 16, 15 through 19, read that. And it gives us the power. He didn't say to pray it.
It said His authority.
His authority.
To use His power.
Yeah, He has the power. He has the power. We have the authority of His name. The power of attorney of His name. And the devil has to resist. Will not resist. He leaves immediately. He has to.
Right, because he doesn't have armor at this point. He does have ability to do some things. He still has not lost his ability to try to test and try us.
Well, charge, but he make doesn't things ha- happen in the flesh and
but
the
he
physical.
Doesn't, but he doesn't have the armor to protect himself, so if we resist him, he flees.
He has to leave. He's like, we're putting him down, and he's leaving.
So we're leaving you with that. So we'll read our last scripture, and then we'll be back. Because this is the one to encourage you, kind of what Paul did.
It says in Philippians 3, 13 through 14, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Right.
Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
So our upward call is to lay hands on the sick, they'll recover, to speak in new tongues. If we have any poison, it won't hurt us, and to cast out demons. That was our call, the upper call. And
he has no power.
And we see Paul going about and doing that. So while you're out at the 4th of July, we say happy 4th of July. Enjoy the fireworks, the beauty in the sky. And the music, if you hear it, go to a rodeo, have a barbecue, have a
picnic.
Right,
and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And truth wins.
Right, and we thank you.
Every time.
We thank you, all the new members we have. We keep growing in members, and we thank you for sharing it. And we thank you for sharing about epigenetics and iniquity. Go back and listen to it again. Get it so it's a weapon you can have in your warfare.
You can say,
to
nope,
I'm not. The battle's in my mind. I'm not going to have a twisted thought and stop the iniquity.
Talk to the hand.
Because Jesus gave you the authority to do that on the cross, and he gives the power behind it to stop it. So again, truth wins, and we'll see you
truth wins
next week.